Okay, so here we are. This is the, here we have the first quote. It's not the first quote. Don't lie to dying. Line 4 to 8 is the, this is the quote which everyone of the Babish is repeating. This is a quote which is repeated right after Gimel Tammuz, that the Rebbe gives a very clear definition how to say Mashiach, that it has to meet this halach of the Rambam, which the Rambam says, Yamit Melech, etc., etc. And the Cheder, you know, simply speaking, from halachic angle, there's two ways. There's one thing which we've always discussed is the Chassidish angle, right? Of the Chassidish, Rebbe Yeshua, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're discussing the halachic angle. And so what the big issue was this thing here, Lekutas Sichas Chelik Hei, where Rebbe makes very clearly that the definition of the Rambam has to be met. And therefore, based on that, is the whole issue of Mashiach more or less boils around this, yeah? So now, what I want to do over here is...
How could the Rebbe be the Kavos the Golias after Yom Tam?
Let's put it this way. The Nekudah is a day. How
what's
do you
question?
Want to say there's any Mashiach is here? Or, the truth is, there were those who came up with this even before Gimel Tammuz, but that doesn't make a difference. Let's talk about after Gimel Tammuz when this was the thing which was on everyone's mind. How can you say that the Rebbe would say anything about Mashiach or Gula in the present tense today, when according to the Rambam you have to meet, you have to have Yamid Melech, you have to meet all of these simonim. And this was all this was basically what every person who has an opinion about Babich, was stating the opinion based on this thing in the Kutas Sichas Chelik Hei, which this is what the Rebbe said here in the Kutas Sichas Chelik Hei, what the Rebbe then spoke against the Tzuyonim, was with this piece right here in the case, Kutas Sichas Chelik Hei. So therefore this caused a whole confusion about, saying Mashiach now in the present tense and Gula in the present tense, etc. So now, what I want to do here today is just explain what the Rebbe is saying over here, right? And we're not going to cover the whole thing, but one thing I just want to bring out. I'm going to go through all of this as if I'm speaking to someone who doesn't want to hear anything about Gula, anything about Mashiach. Somebody, go tell Mashiach here in the present tense, Gula in the present tense. No, it's unacceptable. Okay. Assuming that, I'm speaking to a Yid who finds it unacceptable. So I'm going to go through the whole thing, and I'm going to show you how you come to the final conclusion, where we're going to the final conclusion here, in the last page, we come to the Pesach Din of Parshas Mishpatim, where the Rebbe says, Yigiyas Man Gula, Yamid Melech Bis David. There's not a single person in the world who will have an issue with accepting this Pesach Din. And this is what I want to do. Just follow what's going on over here, what the Rebbe said in the Chelik Hei. Then go through what the Rebbe has been saying through the years, the Rebbe, how the Rebbe explained this Rambam and everything. So therefore, it's just impossible that no one's ever going to say no. And it's just we haven't got our act straight in understanding what the Rebbe is saying, and that's why we have all these complications. This is basically what it is, and this is what I'm trying to show you today. Then, there's more to this, but this is what we're just trying to do today. So I'm going to go through all of this, as if I'm speaking to someone who doesn't want to identify with Gula, with Mashiach, and the present tense, and we'll see how it just falls into place, so sweetly that, you know, it just, no one wants to have anything against it. Okay, this is a whole nekuda. So let's see. So we have here the first, on lines 1-3, we have the quote from the Rambam, which is the Rambam Malacha Heim and Hilchas Malacha, which everyone knows, right? And here, then you have the quote in the Kutas Sichas Chelik Hei from lines 4-5, where the Rebbe says in the first, from lines 4-5, the Rebbe says very clearly that in the Pnim, this is the Pnim of the Sich in Chelik Hei, it's the end of the Sich of Vayetze. Oh, so the end of the Sikh of Vayetze. So the way what it is, let me just go, Rebbe. You saw this. Okay, what are we doing over here? The question over here. I'm pretending I'm speaking to someone who does not want to hear about Gula and Mashiach, right?
Okay.
No one refuses to hear about Gula and Mashiach. Anything in the present tense. Yes, it's written in the Torah. It will happen one day, but there's nothing in the present tense, right? Take somebody who's not interested, who's not prepared to accept this. So I'm going to go through what the Rebbe has been explaining about Mashiach, I'm going to show that the end is, you'll come to the person, explain him, that he gives man gula according to the Rambam, yeah? this psak din of pasim shvatim. This is where we're trying to get to. There's no one ever will ever turn it down or want to turn it down. Once we understand what the Rebbe is saying here, and Kutis is Chelikei, it goes across to everyone. That's it. So this is what we're going to go through very slowly. We're going to go through very slowly, and I want to go through slowly because I want to make sure you really got what's going on over here. Okay. So now here we start here going down to the Shilas. So first, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask. Here we have this thing, Lakut Sichas Chelikei, where the Rebbe said the definition of the Rambam has to be met, the Simonim of the Rambam has to be met, and then you have on line 8, you have this, you must know these words, on line 8, where the Rambam says, the Rebbe says, it has to go according to the state of the Rambam, and that is why when the Tziyonim, Lahavl Mekezil Chara, I don't know if you're allowed to say that word, okay, maybe that is not appropriate, but taking their shit and applying it to our situation today is so out of proportion, but so anyways, it's just amazing how we could actually put it together. But anyways, it's void of any logic. If you're just going to see, we'll come to it. We'll show it right now. Let's not jump to the answer. We're going to see if whatever the Rebbe here is talking about Tzuyin and applying it to our situation today is so far. It's amazing how anyone could ever apply it together.
So it's not if it's not just the pshat. Meaning, if they would do it all according to how the Rebbe would want, then it would be.
Sorry. Let's just say the words which are important here. The words which the Rebbe adds in the Kutasikha there. In the line 8, which is highlighted, but you do ash Rambam medayik say the dvorav, right? That is, you be sure you see that, because that is very important. We're soon gonna focus on these words here. What are the Rebbe's basis saying that all of these simonim have to be met? What are the Rebbe's basis to that? Because the Rambam writes it in this order, Yamid Melech. He writes this order. So therefore, this order has to be met. And therefore, then, by the Tzuyonim, they were talking about what? They're talking about Kibbutz Sintra Yisroel, which is the last thing in the Rambam. The last, qualification in the Rambam, The last criteria in the Rambam. Kibbutz Sintra Yisroel.
When there's no good.
And when you don't have Melech Beis Avi, you don't have Hagib Teir, you don't have Yikif Kol Yisroel, you don't have don't have nothing called Umas, so you don't have being a basic Mikdash. You have nothing. So what are you jumping with Kibbutz Nitzchei Yisrael? That was the Rebbe. So the Rebbe said the time of the Rebbe was the Rambam isn't dying to say the Dvarav. Okay, that is very important to know. That is where the Rebbe gets his yisod of what he refuted then was based on the fact that the Rambam isn't dying to say the Dvarav. Okay. And that was everyone knows is the Rambam, like I say, the Dvarav, etc., etc. Okay, now, let's go here. How do we understand what the Rebbe is saying here? Let's just understand. What is the Rebbe saying here? Now I'm going to go through what the Rebbe says in several other places in the Kutasichas about this Rambam or similar Rambams, and let us understand what is the Rebbe saying here? Look at the Kutasichas Chelikei. So number one, here's the first Shaila. We have Shaila number one is going into the Rambam Hilchas Melachim. The Rambam Hilchas Melachim is the first halacha in the Rambam Hilchas Melachim. So you have the first halacha. You probably know this halacha. The first halacha, the Yidden go into Eretz Yisrael. They have three mitzvahs, right? What are the three mitzvahs? So you have in lines 9 to 10. First mitzvah, they should have a melech. Second mitzvah says the Rambam, they should be wipe out a molech. And the third mitzvah is, you should build a base of chiddur. David, come through, let me give you a favor. You missed the first part, and it's a bit hard to go over this. Take up your coat, I hope you'll be able to manage to go along. Okay.
So that's also in orders.
Right. So here, in the first halacha, when you're talking about the three mitzvahs, you have a halacha base where the Rambam says it very clearly. This is here, the Rambam writes it very clearly. Lines 11 to 13. Rambam writes, Melech comes before Milchemes Amalek. Okay? Then he says, Hachrod, you see the words in the Rambam? Amalek, wiping out Amalek comes before being in Beis Hamikdash. So here the Rambam says it right, it's a clear halacha in the Rambam.
So why doesn't the Rambam say it in,
we're getting to it. It's not only why he doesn't say it. We still want to see what the Rebbe himself says and all the Acharonim say, which is so very different than what the Rebbe is saying regarding Mashiach.
Oh, this is only according to like,
No way. You'll soon see how it goes. Right, more slowly.
What's the shayla here?
Though? I haven't started the shayla yet. Okay. I'm just bring out a point. We haven't started the shayla, and at the end of the page we have the shayla, first shayla. It's three shaylas there. First shayla we have now. So here the Rambam says very clearly in this, in the beginning of Hilchos Melachos, the Rambam says very clearly that you have to have three mitzvahs. When you go to, you didn't go to Eretz Yisrael. The three mitzvahs you didn't have to fulfill. One mitzvah is
have to have a king.
They have to have a king. One mitzvah they have to wipe out a molech, and then they can build a base in Mikdash, right? So the Rambam writes very clearly that the three mitzvahs have to be going to this order. Now, just to make it very clear, we should have no mistakes over here. Go to line 14 to 16. This is in that, in the Sikh Echelik Tazayim. Let's just put what's going on over here. You have one quote in Chelik Hay. That's where everyone, the quote where everyone knows, right? Right? Chelik Hay, this is a big question, how can we say anything about Mashiach Gula today? You have the Pesach Din of the Rebbe based on the Rambam. In Chelik Hay, that's when everyone knows. Just by the way, let us remember, the Rebbe had expounded on this Rambam in several Sikhs. The first one is in Chelik Tezayin. That goes in the years of Lamed Hay, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin. That is somewhere there, I think it was Lamed Vav. Anyway, later was Muga. That's a chil sikha of Chelik design. So here you have, now we're quoting from this sikha of Chelik design. Now look what the Rambam writes, the Rebbe writes here. These three mitzvahs, meaning Melech, fighting and defeating a Molech, and being based on Midrash, are parallel to the simonim of Mashiach, right? Right? It says it here, right? In lines 14 to 16. We have three mitzvahs here, Minatera. Those are parallel to the simonim of Mashiach. Yeah, I'm sure you're with me. That's very obvious. Let's go further. Now, look in the same sikha. That's in the very same sikha, the Chelik design. The Rebbe says, look, in line 17 to 19, and here comes the first question. These three mitzvahs, said the Rebbe, are dependent on each other. Okay, that's what the Rebbe explains in that sikha. That's a chiddush of the Rebbe, that these three mitzvahs are intertwined and dependent on each other. But you look at the end of this quote in line 19, the very end highlighted, the Rebbe says, it's from the Ora over there. It's the Ora over there, Ora 28. The Rebbe says, these three mitzvahs, they're dependent on each other. Only lechatchila or also b'diavad. That means, the Rambam gives us a seder, that you have to have Melech, Nuchama against the Molech, and then you have to be in Yemez Midosh. So, the Rambam says it has to be according to the Seder. So the Rebbe is raising a question, he's questioning here. Does it have to be at this Seder, or only is it a preference? When the Rambam writes Koidem, does he mean it must be, or is it only a matter of preference? Okay? This is the Rebbe's Shaila, right? Now, let's just give you a bit of a background here. The Rebbe, Bechlal, is very medayik in every single deal, yeah? There's two Acharonim who discuss this, and the Rebbe brings them also. One is the Minchas Chinuch, and one of the Shiras David. Both of them assume, without any difficulty at all, it is only a preference. Understand? Now, the Rebbe is always beyond the norm. The Rebbe has all the different options. He's always open to all options. So he says, maybe it's b'diavad also. But I just want to show the general thing in Acharonim, they don't even engage it as a question. They assume it's only as a preference.
Yeah.
It's without even a question by them. That's, if I remember correctly.
Why again, is it a preference?
So I just want to tell you about Acharonim. They don't see it as an issue. They see it also in a matter of a preference. They see there has to be the reason, there has to be a certain order for other side reasons. What this Rambam says over here, they say, is a matter of preference. In other words, you have the three mitzvahs here. Again, you have the Melech, defeating a Molech, and you have Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam says clearly in Halacha Beis, it has to go according to this order. What does the Rebbe say? Even though the Rambam says it has to go according to this order, it's not a must, it's only a preference. So now comes a big question. When it comes to the three mitzvahs,
why is it a preference? Why is it?
Why is it only a preference?
Yeah.
So let's leave it. Let's not go. That's not our negaya here. Let's just point it to Eid. Rebbe says it's meant over a preference. Now it's a very condensed sikha. It's a very difficult sikha. And the way, if I remember correctly, The Rebbe, I don't know. The way, even from that sikh itself, going in the Oros later on, you see the Rebbe also follows mainly the Mahalach, that's only a matter of preference, from the following Oros.
Who cares? I'm saying, like, who cares that one comes before the other? Like, what's...
Well, I'll be tater. Well, no, 1 second. I'll be tater. The Rambam says that this order, these mitzvahs go in this order. Right?
Okay.
The Rambam says these mitzvahs go in this order. Comes the Rebbe and tells us, when the Rambam says goes according to this order, it's not a must, it's only a matter of a preference. Right?
Oh, now, so like anything in Torah that, like, could be, like...
Usually, all right, one of the rule is, usually, two mitzvahs as a rule are not dependent on each other. If two mitzvahs are dependent on each other, then the general rule is, there would be one mitzvah. Right. This is the Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvahs. That a mitzvah, what is one of the rules which splits mitzvahs? The Rambam makes a minyan of mitzvahs. What defines something as an independent mitzvah for itself, if it's not dependent on another mitzvah? So having mitzvahs dependent on each other is the exception. Here we find that these three mitzvahs are dependent on each other. And this is the whole chiddush of that sikha there about why are these three mitzvahs dependent on each other. And we're going to see why also soon. Anyways, this is the chiddush there that are dependent. So now, accepting the fact that they are dependent on each other, and therefore the Rambam writes, it has to go going to the order. You have to have first Melech, then Amalek, then being a Mesa Midosh. So now the Rebbe says that the fact that they are dependent and they have to go according to this order is not maybe only a preference. The mitzvah, in other words, if someone goes and defeats Amalek, or goes, we don't have to go too far, Binyan Beis Hamikdash, second Beis Hamikdash, they did not have a Melech, but Pashtus, they didn't have a Melech, and it was a Binyan Beis Hamikdash, it was a Beis Hamikdash, right? So now let's not go into it. So the fact you can have a Beis Hamikdash without a Melech is not a shocking surprise. So the fact that the Torah says you have Melech, and it has to be this order, it's a matter of preference. Okay, so that was a simple way I would be understood, a matter of preference. Now, so let's go back to our point. We started, you weren't here. Now let's catch up right away. The Rambam, when he says about Mashiach, we're talking about Mashiach. The Rambam says about Mashiach that there's certain signs which have to be met. He has to be a king, So the Rebbe says these simonim, these signs on Mashiach are parallel to these three mitzvahs. Right? So when it comes to the three mitzvahs, what does the Rebbe say? The three mitzvahs, the Rambam says, there is an order. The Rebbe says, it's only a matter of preference. When it comes to Mashiach, where the Rambam doesn't say one word about any order at all. There's not one word in the Rambam, there's an order here. Comes the Rebbe is the only one who says it. That this, the fact the Rambam laid it out in this order, that order must be met. And if it's not met, it's nothing. Where is the Rebbe coming from?
Right.
That's the question I'm wondering. Well, say the very good. Let's go to the next one. Next question. So now the second question is on page number 2. Here you have another thing. So just here you have the Rambam. Here's the Pshita, which is a very surprising thing. I can even say a shocking thing. The Rebbe here, I quote it here. On line 1 from Likutei Sichas Chelek Yud Ches and Chelek Chof Zayin. But you have it there in many Igros Mikhtavim. Clearly you have it in many places. Here, and here what it says. Now I want to show what's going on over here. The Rebbe writes, the Rambam says in Hilchas Melachim, yeah, in the beginning of Perek, referring to Perek Yudalef, in the beginning of the Perek and at the end, Halacha Dalet, that Mashiach will be in the build of Mason Midrash. In other words, the Rebbe says, according to the Rambam, the only person who can build the Mason Midrash is only Melech HaMashiach. Melech HaMashiach is the only one who's going to build the third, we're talking about the third Mason Midrash, right? Mm-hmm. He's only said, Melech HaMashiach is the only one who can build the Mason Midrash. Now, let me just tell you what's going on over here. The Minchas Chinuch has a discussion, writes that he wrote a whole sefer, which we don't have, about building the Mason Midrash today. If we can build it, No, you get one introduction. Michael Chinuch writes very clearly that today, fact, reality is you can't build a Beis Hamikdash. You're going to try, you're going to get yourself into trouble, right? That's reality. So Michael Chinuch says, let's suppose the Goyim would allow us to build a Beis Hamikdash. Let's suppose. How did they build Bayis Sheni? The Goyim allowed them, right? They were under the minion of the Goyim, and the Goyim allowed them. Let's say nowadays, in Zman HaGolus, situation, arises that the goyim allow us to build a Beis HaMikdash. So, what is the din then? Should we build a Beis HaMikdash or not? Right? So he goes into the discussion, and we don't have his discussion, but he brings up that he has written such a sefer. Now, he does not mention that the Rambam writes that only Mashiach is going to build a Beis HaMikdash. There's no mention of that in the Michas Chinuch. He doesn't find that as an issue, Bechlal. The Rambam writes here that only Mashiach will build a Beis HaMikdash. This is some, now. The Rebbe, so the Michas Chinuch does not mention this Rambam. Then you have even better, you have a Shilas Dobit. There's also another Achron who the Rebbe quotes. And on this subject, the Rebbe quotes him several times. We have everything he wrote. And he has a whole discussion about if we can build a Beis HaMikdash without Melech HaMashiach, right? And he writes, according to the Rambam, yes, I think, or, yeah, according to the Rambam, is an issue, right?
Okay.
Unrelated issue. So he, that's what he writes. He doesn't mention that what the Rebbe says here, in Hilchas Melochim, the Rambam says only Mashiach is going to build a Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't make a mention of that at all. Now, the Rebbe here says that the Rambam says only Mashiach is going to build a Beis HaMikdash, right? The Rebbe doesn't even bother to explain how he learned it from the Rambam. The Rambam writes it, the Rebbe has it so simple, it's right there in the Rambam, where? In the beginning of this Perek, and in the end of the Perek. What does the Rambam say in the beginning of the Perek? You probably know. Melech HaMashiach is going to come, rise, he's going to defeat Amalek, and he's going to build a Beis HaMikdash. What does he say in the end of the Perek, in Halacha Dalet, that Yamid Melech, he's going to build. So here the Rebbe says very clearly that only this Rambam is telling us that only Mashiach is going to build a Beis HaMikdash. Where did the Rebbe get from this Rambam that only Mashiach is going to build a Beis HaMikdash? Where did the Rebbe get that it's not possible for someone to build a Beis HaMikdash before Mashiach comes? If it happened by Sheni, why shouldn't it be able to happen now? Why? Where did the Rebbe see it in the Rambam? Something which no one ever saw in the Rambam.
There has to come a point when there's going to be a Vade Mashiach.
Well,
there's going to be a Vade Mashiach, no problem, right?
So.
That's the next question.
I want him to get the question properly. So let me, you have to be someone from Vade Mashiach for a while.
There's going to, and the Rambam says,
wonderful. So let's say we build a Beis HaMikdash.
You're not going to know he's Mashiach if he doesn't build it.
What happens if we build it? Like by Sheni. And then he comes after. Who says, where did he see in the Rambam, that it's impossible to have a Beis HaMikdash before
him? He takes it as it's a given fact. It's a given. It doesn't.
Why can't he be in Tzvanagolos?
So the Rambam, Mashiach is going to do it. Let's say we will make one. What happens if Goy destroyed it again? We'll come and build it again. Where do you get from the Rambam? Where do you get from the Rambam that it?
So he built it again.
That is very good. Yes, I said him again. The Rebbe is medayik from this Rambam, not that he is going to build it. The Rebbe is medayik that no one else can build it. The Rebbe is medayik. If you're going to have the full thing, so I've only brought the quote of this quote, which is mamish for us. If you want to have the full quote, I have it. One second. The Rebbe, no, it's clearly.
How's Rebbe Mefarad?
No. One step. Let me finish. The Rebbe is not telling you Rambam is going to build a Beis HaMikdash. No way. No, the Mashiach is going to build a Beis HaMikdash. He's telling you, no one can build a Beis HaMikdash without Mashiach. That's what the Rebbe is saying. And that's what the Rebbe says it time and again. No one can build it without Mashiach. And where do you get it from? What?
That's the word Mefarad
Kay. Yeah, right. The Rebbe says the Rambam is medayek on every single word. So what are the Rambam lays out criteria for what is Vade Mashiach, and one of them is Bona Mikdash Mekayimui. If we don't have that, we never have Mashiach.
Slowly. You're telling me Chelek Hay, which Lechere is under question itself.
The question goes
a bit stronger. When you're telling me about Gula, okay, Chelek Hay is discussing there the dinim of Gula. Yeah. So you try to draw something out from that Rambam. No issue. Here we're talking about a din of Hilchas, being a Mikdash, which is somewhere in Hilchas Beis HaBechira. It's not that Hilchas being a Beis HaMikdash is not in Hilchos Malachim. It's then Hilchos Beis Avchila. Here the Rebbe is telling us in Binyan Hilchos Beis Avchila. Here the Rebbe is telling us that Rambam says it's impossible to build the Beis Hamikdash before Mashiach comes. I mean, who says? You want, even you can, I can go along with Chelek K, I can sort of go along with it. I can say that the Rambam has, that Mashiach has to come, he's gonna have to rebuild it, he's gonna have to perfect it. By Sheni wasn't perfect, he's gonna have to perfect it. There's different ways. Even if I accept Chelek K, this is even more astounding, because here the Rebbe says it's excluding any opportunity to build a Beis Hamikdash before he comes. And the question is, where did he see that from the Rambam? And especially, we find Acharonim, where the Rebbe himself is quoting them.
Where is it exclusive?
So it's a very good. So I haven't got a full quote here. No, but it is X now. The full quote, you want to go to the full quote, you either go to the Sikha there, or if you have here Order 9, which we're going to get to later, the other 9 here, over here, on page 3, you have there the full quote, there, that is a full quote, where the Rebbe says, so yeah, let's go right now, the Rebbe says, Karbonis could be in Zman HaGolus. So we all assume that Kabbalists, we cannot do in Zman HaGolos, right?
Mm.
There is a Deva Rishon of Chilm in Paris, which he said we can do Kabbalists in Zman HaGolos.
Yeah.
Let's not go into the whole thing, but let's, there's such a day. What is the shit of the Rambam? Can we do Kabbalists in Zman HaGolos or not? So the truth is, Acharoinim have a whole Shakl Vataria. And for the Rambam, there's no clarity.
Wait, this here?
There is a certain person who wrote a sefer, I don't remember the name, I have it written down somewhere, going back in Europe, that the Rambam holds he cannot bring kabbalas. The Rambam says you cannot make kabbalas as a man of goals. So, someone went and wrote him right back. It's not, there's a whole sefer written right back. You can't bring the Rambam. No, there's no clarity from the Rambam.
Wait, what is the Rambam? What is Bereish apparent?
Well, no, you're gonna have to, let me speak. Let me be sure. So here, forget about the first paragraph of that quote. The second one. The second quote. The Rebbe negates the Kabbalah, the Rebbe says, you could say the Rambam Shitta is, you can build and bake Kabbalah, Manazah. In other words, the Rebbe is not saying that is the Rambam Shitta, the Rebbe is saying there's no clarity in the Rambam Shitta. The Deichik in the Rambam Shitta. Even with a Deichik, Rambam Shitta is also good.
Yeah, but
the Deichik is to answer the previous question with this Shitta. The Rambam is the Deichik. By the way, yeah. So the Rambam, there's no clarity. I know Galitzi thing, Rebbe Avraham seems to, I favor the Rambam Shitta, you can't. I think so, he once wrote something. But in general, he's upset that the Rambam, we do not know what the Rambam Shitta is. Clear from the Rebbe, you don't, the Rambam, we do not know his Shitta. Fine. So now, that's Kabbalas. Here, the Rebbe says, but in the gates of Beis HaMikdash, you cannot say, I just wanted to bring, this is the point I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
In the gates of Beis HaMikdash, you cannot say the Rambam says you can have Beis HaMikdash in Zman HaGolos, because the Rambam writes, Mashiach is going to build a Beis HaMikdash.
Bereish HaPerek?
Bereish HaPerek B'Soifen.
Which one?
Hamelech HaMashiach.
So
B'Soifen is a quote which you have right over here. So then the Rebbe says, from this quote, the Rebbe sees that only excludes the opportunity to build a Beis HaMikdash Zman HaGolos.
That's why.
Why? Because. So who says, why can I not build a Beis HaMikdash? And let's say it will be destroyed, Mashiach will build it again. Why if I build a Beis HaMikdash, Mashiach will come and re-perfect it, by Shem was also not perfect.
Oh, I hear you.
And not only that, you see Acharonim, no one saw it in the Rambam, because we find Acharonim discussed, and no one mentions it as such a Rambam.
It's exclusively Mashiach, I can do
that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, not only that. I'll give you go around, you'll see. It's just by the way. When I was pushing this around, going back then, so Rabbi Avraham Baruch Pevsner told me the reason why the Rebbe came up with this Sicha in Chelik Design and Lamed Vov, this is the first time the Rebbe took this Rambam apart is in Chelik Tezvav Tezayin, the reason why the Rebbe came up with it, because he then was the Shlich in Yerushalayim, and he went around whatever the different Shlichas, and he went to the Mir Rosh Hashiba, who was a very, very big admirer of the Rebbe, Poshet, he dealt in the Rebbe, Nachum Pasovitz, yeah. So he actually, yes, he actually was identified the Rebbe as being meeting the criteria of the Rambam, yeah. So he then asked him why Lubavitch, that was then the topic with them was Miftah Tefillin, Lubavitch, the Rebbe came out with Miftah Tefillin sometime earlier, anyways. So he asked, if you're doing all these things, he said, he explained, why are you doing it? Because it's all part of the Yikkaif. So why don't you get involved with the Mitzvah also? That's what he asked. So Avraham Baruch wrote this to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe then discussed it in several sittas, which is the basis of this sitta of Chelik design. In other words, I'm just giving you a proof that he brought up why you're not getting involved in the base of Mikdash. There is nowhere where you find that someone should say Chelik, as far as I know, there's no one who says that only Mashiach can build the base of Mikdash. It's the Rebbe's clear-cut thing. To the extent, I'll tell you even further, you know, going around, I think we shouldn't mention, when I went around with this Inyan of the Rambam, I met many of Chashuvei Lubavitch who did not know the Rebbe has his shitta, the only Mashiach. People who know Allah, became a big Allah, did not know the Rebbe has such a shitta of Allah, the only Mashiach. They've shocked when, whatever you showed them, they tried to understand the Rebbe saying something different. They were shocked to the fact. It was mamish. They didn't realize that this, because the Rebbe, they were actually trying to explain to me that the Rebbe saying something else. The only Mashiach can build a base of Mishish. Where Allah, you don't find such a thing. Okay, it's just fine. It's just a side point, not to go into it. Okay, fine. So now let's go further to Rebbe David. How are you managing? So basically, only Mashiach. The question we're asking, why, where did the Rebbe get it from? Because all the people saw the Rebbe, it says in the Rambam. All the people saw the Rambam, no one saw it in the Rebbe. What did the Rebbe see in this Rambam, which no one else saw? Fine. Now we're going to the next thing, number three. The Rambam has this thing of Chezkas Mashiach, right? Now you probably heard of it. There is no Chera, there's no Mokir to this shit of the Rambam. Rambam splits in two stages. Cheskes and Vade. Where did the Rambam get these two stages? Cheskes and Vade. So now, the regular answer is, because in Gemara you do find different definitions of Mashiach, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, yeah? So the Rambam sort of induced it from that, right? Whatever we say, you want to say the Rambam induced it from that, but that is a very far call from a clear cut that the Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David is a very very far call from the Cheskes Mashiach and Bad Mashiach, what the Rambam is defining. The Rambam sort of induced it. You had a whole methodology to deduce from this Gemara that Mashiach ben Yosef is Cheskes and whatever. It's a very far fetch. It's not right out in the Gemara. Not like any normal Allah in the Rambam, which the Rambam gets it right out from the Gemara according to his understanding. Here he is talking about is something which is deduced to the Gemara. Because in Mashiach ben Yosef, there's no inference in the Gemara that this is the Cheskes, that this is the description of Mashiach ben Yosef being Cheskes, and Befrat, whatever. So whatever, this is something, so it's a remote source, you have Cheskes about it, there's other one or two other sources, Mashiach ben Nisa, Mashiach ben Goli, you see different stages, so that you could say the Rambam understood it as Cheskes and Vadai, right?
Okay.
But that is not a regular source. Where did the Rambam get this idea of Cheskes Mashiach? Where did he get the whole concept of Cheskes? Now. Now that is a very big Nachmina. I don't know why it's so important. It is very important. Why? Okay. So let's go down. This is footnote number two.
Okay.
Here's a Hilchas Hamotei Al Terebe. Al Terebe writes that here's a machlokes of the Rambam and the Rosh. If can you teach, when you're teaching halachas, are you allowed to teach halachas, dry halachas, without giving any logic behind the halachas?
Of course not.
Right. So now, one second. So you have machlokes. The Rebbe writes, the Al Terebe writes, shit is a Rambam, you can teach dry halachas without giving the logic at all. What's a raya? The Rambam wrote the whole sefer giving dry halachas without logic. So this is the shit is a Rambam. Shit is a Rosh is? No, if you don't get the logic, you cannot learn it. That's why, you can't. So he writes, you can't learn anything from the Rambam. Explains Al Terebe that the Rambam, even according to the shit of the Rambam, that would only be to take the actual halacha and act, if you have exact case, the Rambam states, then you can follow the Rambam. To even according to the Rambam, for you to take from a scenario where the Rambam gives in his Sefer, and you to deduce from that in relation, in connection to something else, that because the Rambam says this, I will do something else which is similar, that you cannot do. Why? Even according to the Rambam, because you don't have the reasoning of the Rambam.
So even the Rambam holds that you need the reasoning for his Allah to ask him to extrapolate the
distance. Wonderful.
Okay.
Right. Now, therefore, suppose to that, if we're talking about a situation today, want to know if this can be categorized according to the Rambam as something in relationship to Gula, etc., etc. The post of that is, if you do not know the logic, where the Rambam gets, so the Rebbe writes very clearly, you have to know the logic behind the halacha. If you do not know the Rambam's logic behind this halacha, you cannot say anything about this halacha. On the other hand, if you do know the logic, you're going to say the fetish, everything which Rabavitch should be saying, or what it says in Mishpatim. Once you know the logic, you're going to say, because it goes right, if it's right.
If you understand the logic.
So everything I'm saying,
these halachas of the Rambam's writings, then.
The Rambam, if you understand this halacha, all the questions which were raised, all the questions from this thing of the Kutasil, Chedekei, just disappear. Once you understand what the Rambam's saying. How are we going to understand what the Rambam is saying? We're going to learn it right out, and the Rebbe explained it. You know, you have it right out in the Rebbe, and you see it fits. It goes right into the Rambam, and therefore, yeah, that's it. That's okay. We're sure, so far so good.
Yeah.
Over time.
If we just really understand this halachas, how the Rambam is writing them, and the timing.
We understand what the Rebbe has been telling us all the years. You wouldn't have a issue. That's basically what it means.
Okay.
Let's go. So now, here we have here. Now we're going to the Rambam, another Rambam. Till now we discussed two Rambams. We discussed the Rambam of Yamid Melech. We discussed the three mitzvahs in the beginning of Hilchos Melachim. Now we're going to a third Rambam. The Rambam of the beginning of Hilchos Beis Abchira, which you all know because we all learn Hilchos Beis Abchira, right? So this is the first halachas in Hilchos Beis Abchira. By the way, what I'm going to do as we go, I'm going to show you how the, now. What I'm going to do is, this whole thing, this whole explanation I'm going to tell you right now, yeah, is very simple. It's going to answer all the questions, and the conclusion from this is going to be, it's mamish very simple. But I'm going to go on the, while I'm doing it, I want to show you how everything which we're going to bring down from the Rebbe is, how the Rebbe had built a whole structure in order to get to this point. So I'm going to show you, I'm going to go at three different points, I'm going to show you how the Rebbe is putting his input, creating mamish, Okay. Good night. Anyways, so now, here we have, let's do the first thing in the Hilchos. Let's go in the Hilchos Beis Abchira. Here. So look at the Rambam, the first halacha in the Rambam, Hilchos Beis Abchira. The Torah, the Mishkan which Moshe made, look at the words of the Rambam, was the Fishah, right? Temporary. You see that? The word Lefishah?
Yeah.
Fine. Halacha base. The Rambam continues, they had the same Mishkan which Moshe used in the Midbar was used also in Gilgal. In the 14 years when they fought and divided the land, they used the same Mishkan, right? That is on line 3. The end of line 3, the Rambam goes into something new, right? And line 3, the Rambam goes into something new. From there, after the 14 years, it came to Shiloh. They built a Bayis Shel Avonim. You see that word here, Bayis Shel Avonim? He built a stone structure. Nevertheless, they put on top of it, they didn't have a roof, they put on the Yiriyas, right? The Yiriyas of the Mishkan were on top. Yeah, anyways. Then it goes, it says that this stood up for 319 years, right? That's almost the same time the Beis HaMikdash stood, right? 100 years less, around, right? It stood up 390 years in Mishkan, right? Mishkan Shiloh, fine.
Okay.
When Eli was Nifter, it was destroyed. Then they came to Noid. There they built a Mikdash. Now again, you have to look at the words. You see? Mikdash. Remember, you have it three different descriptions. One we have in Halach, in the first one, with Lifishah. The second thing we have is in Shiloh, Bayis Shel Avonim. And then we have Noid, we have the word Mikdash. Then he says, Shmuel was Nifter, it was destroyed, it came to give it, and again, the Rambam used a word, which word? Mikdash, he built a Mikdash, you see it? Right. Then the Rambam said, from given they went to Beis HaElamim, which that is the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi, right? Yeah. Right? So far. So yeah, fine. And then, okay. Then he says it's only 75 years. Not even given together was 75 years. Now let's go to Halacha Gimel. The Rambam says here, since, from once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, every place other than the Beis HaMikdash is also to build a house. You see that? Livnes ben bayis Lashem, right? And b'makrev korban, right? And the only place where you can, which is allowed to serve Hashem, but through korbanos, is on Yerushalayim, right?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Now, this is a side point. I just want to show how this whole thing is being built. The Rebbe is building it through the years. Here on the Rambam's words, it says "livnes ben bayis." You see the words "line livnes ben bayis"? Yeah. Now this Rambam comes from a Gemara. From what does it say in the Gemara? The Gemara doesn't mention anything about building another Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara does not mention that. The Gemara says, from the moment Yerushalayim was built, you're not allowed to be makriv korbanos on a boma. Bomas are out. Mm. That's what the Gemara writes. The Rambam here adds, doesn't write just lahakriv korban, he writes, livnes bayis. So now, you look at the footnote here, 3, right? Footnote 3. The Rebbe says that he says the Rambam here is creating a new issa. And what is it? You're not allowed to build another bayis. There's two issurim. The one is you're not allowed to be makir kabbalas in bombers once the Beis HaMikdash is built. Here the Rebbe is telling us the Rambam, this is the Rebbe telling us another thing. You're not allowed to build another house, regardless of kabbalas. Okay. Now this is going back all the way in Chelik Tov Zayin, right? That's in the same sikh, I think. It's in the same sikh.
Okay.
So now, the Rebbe... Now, I just want you to understand what's going on here. Till the Rebbe comes, everyone understood this Rambam to be saying, apparently, from the Ha'ore itself is understood that everyone has understood the Rambam different than the Rebbe, because the Rebbe quotes Acharonim, they all understood it differently. It's there. So it's all more or less implied that no one understood the Rambam the way the Rebbe understood it. And here the Rebbe is telling us something new, which we didn't see in the Rambam. Why no one saw it? Because in the Gemara, it does not say. The Gemara says it's only Issa or Bomis. Here the Rebbe says there's a new Issa, the Rambam says, to build another house. And there the Oro continues, where did the Rambam get it from? So the Rebbe is deducing here something from the Rambam, which is the Rebbe's own initiative, right? I just want to bring this to attention. You're going to see how this all evolves over the years. So he's telling us that there is a bill. The Rebbe is giving, what the Rebbe is doing, till now, the Beis HaMikdash, not Beis HaMikdash, and yes, Beis HaMikdash, was all about the korbanos. The uniqueness of Beis HaMikdash was all about korbanos. Here the Rebbe is telling us, no, there's another aspect in Beis HaMikdash, which is very, very important, and that's
bias.
Okay, we're soon going to get to it. Okay. We're going to have bias of volume, we're soon going to get, okay, now. Let's carry on. This is just a side. I just wanted to just bring that to your attention. This is a side point. Now, let's go now to Chelik Tazayin. This is a sikha which we brought before, right? Which was a response to that Rosh Hashiva, etc. Here the Rebbe is explaining the three. Now, he is going to explain the three mitzvahs of Melech, Amalek, and Binyan Beis HaMikdash. In the beginning of the Hilchos Melachim. The Rebbe explained that these mitzvahs are dependent on each other, right? We already learned that. We already said that, right? Let's continue over. Two. Okay, here the Rebbe explains, going on from lines 9 to 17, the Rebbe explains how halachically these mitzvahs are dependent on each other. Because remember, usually one mitzvah is not dependent on another mitzvah. And here, these three mitzvahs are dependent on each other, whether it is only as a preference or as a must, that is questionable. But they are sort of dependent on each other. Why? So the Rebbe explains over here, because they give shleimus to each other. What are these shleimus we're still going to see? But here the Rebbe is only speaking on the realm of halacha. The Rebbe says these three mitzvahs add shleimus to each other. They contribute to each other. Therefore, they're dependent, and therefore they're put together as sholosh mitzvahs. The Rebbe is saying, what's the idea of sholosh mitzvahs? Mitzvah, tefillin, mitzvah. You have a mitzvah, tefillin, you have a mitzvah, tefillin. Why are you making it to sholosh mitzvahs? Three mitzvahs together. Because these three mitzvahs are dependent on each other. They contribute to each other. This is what the Rebbe has explained. So now let's go over now to line 18 to 20. Now here the Rebbe says, now I want you to see what the Rebbe is saying here. You still have energy to go, or you're phasing out?
No, no, no.
here has the Rebbe explained the Lashon HaRambam. The mikvah Misha made was, again, you see in line 19, the fishah. It was a oil. It was a fishah. Temporary. This is it, yeah? This extended over to the 14 years. Okay. Also, the 14 years was, the first 14 years was also a fishah. Okay, now let's go to page number 3. From there we go to Shiloh. Now, I want you to see the Rebbe's words over here. Are you going to next? Let's go to page number 3. Let's go to page number 3. The Rebbe's words here. What was happened by Shiloh knew? So look at the Rebbe's words. They matzav of nucha yais. You see these words? Something is new is happening by Shiloh. There's more menucha. Until now they were in the desert. They were fighting. They were in the desert. Or in Eretz Yisrael they were fighting wars. Here is Shiloh. They already divided the land. They have menucha. So therefore, again, the Rebbe explains this was at the culture shecholku. They built then a bayis shalavonim, not an oil. Why did they build a bayis shalavonim? Because they had more menucha.
So why didn't they just build it in the regular place?
Where? In Shiloh, that was a regular place.
Why?
I don't hear what you're saying.
No, why did they build in Shiloh?
Because the Torah has two places. Shiloh and Yerushalayim are considered two places of the places for being based in Midrash, permanent places, not the Fishah, permanent, were two places, Shiloh and Yerushalayim. The Shiloh, there's both the Shichne Tidrishu Vasa Shama in passages of A, go to Shiloh, let's go to.
Why is it two plates? Like, what's the significance
this is me going to get to. So the Shiloh, that is it. Because the answer to that is, because Malchus Beis David, this is we're getting to Malchus Beis David, only came by his tradition in Yerushalayim. And that makes the whole Naya get. Till then you had a Melech, but it was not Malchus Beis David. But that's what we're going to get to. Okay? So now, I do go through slowly because. look, 1 second. Because, anyways, look. So now they come to Shiloh, the Rebbe says, what happened? They had more menucha. What is the result they had more menucha? They built a stone structure, right? Does this make any sense to you? You know, when you have menucha, we'll jump forward a bit. When you build a skyscraper, when you're on the front fighting your enemy, or when you defeat your enemy, and you have established that the country system is working, then you start building skyscrapers. When you build a skyscraper? On the front, no, the front, you don't build skyscrapers. You build tents, temporary buildings. So in the Mishkan, they built, in the base of Middle, in the desert, you had a temporary structure. You're fighting, Kovshu Shecholku, you had a temporary structure. Now you've Cholku, you've divided the land, you've come to, you've settled, you build a stone structure. That makes sort of, okay. We're still going to see even clearer in the Rebbe's words. Anyways, so the Rebbe says, they have Nuch, they build a stone structure. Remember, okay, just to add, Melech, I guess it's not to hold it back. Melech is a leader. What does a leader do? When you have a leader, you can go to war. Without a leader, can you go to war?
No.
So you don't have a king who has a power of dominion, you can't really go to war. You have to summon a controller, so you can really control the country. You need someone like Trump, right? To go to war. You have another guy, you don't go to war, you know. So anyways, you need a king. Anyways, so this is just jumping forward. So the Rebbe says, you have menucha, and then, you can build a stone structure, which is not oil, till then was only oil. But nevertheless, Rebbe goes on to explain, this is like a quote from the Ora over there, they didn't have a roof, they only had yiriyas on the Mishkan, because it was not a full permanent structure. Even though Shiloh was a permanent structure, look, it stood for how many years? 369 years. That's almost, it's just 50 years short of the Beis HaMikdash. 50 years short, that's the whole thing. It stood there, 40 years short, depends which Beis HaMikdash. It was 40 years after the Beis HaMikdash which David built. David's Beis HaMikdash was for 410 years, and this is for 369 years. So it's 41 years short, right? So it was a stone structure, it didn't have a roof. It did not have the same permanency as the full permanency, because the roof didn't have a roof on the top, okay? So now you see the relevance, how important a stone is, having a building of stone. You see, okay. Now you're going to see even more.
Because they're together above.
Kvias. You're going to get there. What's Binyam?
We're going to get
there soon. I put it in the words. You're going to see how it goes. It's like, now, let's go to the next line. Here the Rebbe says, you came to Neuven Given. They built a Mikdash. Right? That was a mikdash. That is not called the oil. It's a mikdash. And a footnote, the Rebbe adds that it probably was made out of stone. Okay? Now I want to show you that something, now you have to look at this is astounding. Look, this is dumbfounding. What is it? Dumbfounding?
Yeah.
Look at it. This is from the order. In not even given, just for you to be aware, I want you to understand, but not even given, here was the Rebbe saying here. They were a mikdash, and they were above, they surpassed the Mishkan, the oil, and they surpassed also Shiloh in a certain aspect. In fact, they were, and the Rebbe is saying, he's not sure, but the way it looks, it was stone, and in that, because of that, because of, in credit to that, it surpassed the Shiloh and Mishkan. This is what the Rebbe is saying. It was a mikdash. It surpassed the Mishkan for sure. I just want you to understand what's going on over here. They're not even given, there was no Oren over there. So it did not have, if you're talking about being makriv karbonos, not even given did not have a din of Beis HaMikdash. It had a din of a Bama Gdoila. You see the Rebbe writes, it was a Bama Gdoila. It was not, it didn't, you could not be makriv what you did in the Mishkan. You weren't able to be makriv in this not even given. It did not have the same, I'm not sure how it works with the Kabbalah, I forgot. But anyways, it did not have the Aron. So, if you're talking about the Kedushas HaMokim, the Mishkan Moshe did have the full Kedusha. This was a Bama Gdoila. Nevertheless, what are the Rebbe's telling us? That it surpassed the Mila of, the Mishkan. Why? Because it was made out of stone. Right? You hear that? Huh?
Past the Mishkan Shiloh, because it was made of stones.
Made of, therefore, it was made of, it's not my words. This is coming, this is right down the Sikh. You learn to take the Sikh inside. Do me a favor. You go home, take it all apart, and work it out for yourself. I'm going to throw in another thing just to make it clear. Because this will go fast without being recognized. There's, look in the order five. Where did I put it here? I put it, boom, boom, boom. It's in the order four here.
Okay.
You have to understand what's going on. It is, the Rebbe says that, the Gemara says, I put it in order four, let's, but not, the Rebbe says over there, this is the Sikha Chilik of Dara. The Rebbe says that, not even given, you were able to mati, you could be makriv in bombers in not even given. Let us hear. In not even given, you were allowed to be makriv, you were allowed to make bombers. In Shiloh, you're not allowed to make bombers. Right?
Okay.
Let us assume, without learning what the Rebbe is saying, without the Rebbe.
There wasn't one place? There was,
like, we had the Rambam. We have Shiloh, 369 years. Not even given, together, 75 years. The Rebbe is now telling us, this is, it goes in order. Mishkan the lowest, Shiloh, higher, not even given, till you come Beis Alamin. Now, I just want to show you, the Rebbe is attributing so much to not even given. I want you to know from a halachic status, the way most people look at not even given, I just want to show you how it works. The Gemara says when you had Shiloh, you are not allowed to be have bombers. Why? Because you have a base mikdash there.
Right.
Shiloh. Not even given, you weren't allowed to be makriv kabonis. You're allowed to be makriv bombers.
Your own bomber.
What is this? What would we assume? Why? Because not even given had no order in our Kodesh. Had no order. It was a bomber gdela. The thing is, when you have a bomber gdela, you can allow to be makriv in smaller bombers also. Mm-hmm. So where would you place in category
Wait,
of importance?
Beis HaMikdash is not a bomber gdela.
No, basically, bomber gdela means a communal bomber. You have individual bombers, then you have a communal bomber. Siburi. What's exactly?
Why not by the Beis HaMikdash? That's also
Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is no, Beis HaMikdash, you have an order, is a different, has a lachic status of Beis HaMikdash. Bama Gdela is not a status of Beis HaMikdash. I don't know all the differences, there's certain components, you can't be makrib, I don't remember what they are.
One of the, nafkaminas is that you could,
you could do more than you do in a Bama Ketana. You can do more than you do in a Bama Ketana, in your own.
So what do they do in Shiloh then, if they didn't?
In Shiloh, they did everything like they did, this we're going to come to, they did everything like they did in the base of Mikdash of David. To say everything.
So that's a question.
Right? So how is it not? That's Korbonis.
One.
So that's Korbonis.
In Mishkan, Shiloh, everything. The only person, the only person.
Why is that not a Bama Gdela?
A Bama Gdela is not a base of Mikdash.
No, but why isn't it the gather of Bama?
It's above. It's above a Bama Gdela.
Shiloh
is above the Bama, yes.
I thought Nevin Givin is higher than Shiloh.
This is I want you to show what's going over here. The Rebbe is taking things apart, turning things around, and you have to give it attention to see what's going on over here. You have the normal, the way it's normally seen. You have the Mishkan, met the full requirement of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? You could do all the Kabbalah, say, had the Aron there. Shiloh met the full requirement of the Beis HaMikdash. Because you could do all the kabbalas, had the Aron there, and the basic mitzvah of David met the full requirement. You have three. Now you have Noivin given. What was Noivin given? The normal way we're normally looking it, would normally understand it. It was a Bama Gdela. What means Bama Gdela is you can be makriv more than you can be makriv on a Bama Yachid. A Bama Yachid. The makriv is the way everyone would understand mikdash. Meaning it was the Bama Gdela. No. The Rebbe is telling us that the word Mikdash in Rambam is applying to tell us that it has an advantage over the Mishkan. Right. That's the Rebbe telling us. But the way you look from the Gemara, the Rebbe is deducing this from the Rambam. The way you learn from the Gemara, Nevin Given had the status of a Bama Gdela, and therefore it was not in the category of a Beis HaMikdash. It was in the category of a Bama Gdela.
It was still called a Mikdash, even though it was a Bama Gdela, which is a lower thing.
Now, if you look at, that's why I have in order four, where the Rebbe says, now the Rebbe is giving more credibility to, not even given.
It just had one prat in it that it had a tikra on it that was more like it was like an aliyah. It had one prat. Okay,
now,
it's fine.
So now I just want to show you. One slowly. The Gemara said you could be, when you had not even given, you could have small bombers at a time. Remember, by Shili you cannot have small bombers.
Okay, but stay there.
But Mishkan, but Shili cannot have bombers. It's important. The Rebbe then, it's a chiddush of the Rebbe. He said, Noivin Given really shouldn't also be able to have bombers. The Rebbe is a chiddush, he's a medayik from a Mishnah. The Noivin Given, you also shouldn't have bombers. Why shouldn't you have bombers? Because the Rebbe is placing Noivin Given above
Shiloh,
or above a Mishkan, that for sure. And therefore you cannot have bombers. Did you have bombers? The Rebbe said there was a drosha, they have a special drosha from a posik. So what the Rebbe has done, he's taken Nevin Given, with the way we would, from understanding the Gemara, or way we would look at Nevin Given, as lower. Why? There's less Kabbalahs there. There's no Aron, there's less Kabbalahs. I'm not sure there's certain Kabbalahs which can't be marked on a Bama Gdela. I don't remember the exact halachas. Anyways. So, the has less Kabbalahs, it's a less Beis HaMikdash. The Rebbe is telling us, is giving us a new criteria to Beis HaMikdash. What is it? You have Menucha, and you build a permanent structure out of stone, that gives it new,
it's a Kiddush.
Yeah, and therefore, based on that, he's telling us, no, you've been given as above.
Okay, very nice.
Now you see, God, he wants to go around further. Okay, so we're running further. Let's go.
I'm throwing
in that even though I didn't even give when it was seemingly lower because it was only a Bama Gdela and they didn't have the Aron there and everyone could make their own Karbonis everywhere else, but the Rebbe said
there's a certain mile.
There's a mile to it because it was more, because the building itself was more.
You're right.
There's a tikra on it.
That's what he's going to sidra.
Yeah, because the kesidra, can you have the melech there?
And once you're saying on kesidra, so you have to find the mile. What is the mile? Is the tikra?
So let's remove the word kesidra.
Okay.
Let's put in, you have the menucha.
More.
You have the menucha, which is comes because you have a melech, you have the wisdom of Chama. You have the menucha.
Okay.
And then menucha, and therefore you have the better, more kviyas. That's what it is. Okay. So the Rebbe is giving a new dimension. It's a whole new dimension to the base of Mikdash, okay?
Fine. Yeah, okay.
Wonderful. Let's carry on. Now you have the last, line 6 and 7. He ends off. Line 6 and 7. What happened to base of Lomim? What is base of Lomim? That is even above Noivin Given and above Shiloh. Because you have the shleimus of the melech and the shleimus of the menucha. You see? Now, the shleimus of Beis Olamim is very simple. What does Beis Olamim mean? Shleimus, you know what Beis Olamim means in simple Pshat and Rambam? Why is Beis Hamikdash called Beis Olamim? I just want to see what's going on over here.
The eternal house.
Because this, from here on and onwards, only here will be the Beis Hamikdash. It doesn't mean that this structure is going to stay here forever. It didn't stay forever. It was destroyed. This place, halachically, is the place of the Beis Hamikdash. That's the Pshat of Beis Olamim. Here the Rebbe is telling us, it is Beis Olamim, true, what we just have said, but there's another aspect to it. Because it's the shleimus of the melech and the shleimus of the melucha of Melchamis Amalek. And that created, you have the shleimus of the melech, you have the shleimus of Melchamis Amalek, that created the base of Lomim which we have with this base of Mishnah of
the
shleimus.
Then
let's go further. Why?
He's not saying it's a criteria of why it's called base of Lomim. He's saying the base of Lomim that And it happened to be then that there was
The sikha works explains you that these three mitzvahs are interrelated and they contribute to each other, and therefore this is the punchline of the whole thing. We said the Beis Olamim came to have this quality Beis Olamim. Why? Because you have the shleimus of the other two mitzvahs. Okay, shleimus of Melech, shleimus of Malamalek. Okay. That, so the Beis Olamim, I'm not changing.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Okay, I'm just fine. Now, this is all the Rebbe is discussing, the three mitzvahs in the beginning of Hilchos Malachim. Now we're going to the second sikha of Chelik Yud Ches, where there the Rebbe is discussing almost the same thing. The only thing he's not discussing the beginning of Hilchos Malachim, here he's discussing the end of Hilchos Malachim, the love of Yamid Melech. Okay? Yamid Melech, the whole Perek. And you're going to see how the Rebbe follows the same thinking. He just adds a bit more gosh mystical clarity to it. So now let's go. Let's do it. The Rambam writes, the question the Rebbe is addressing is, why did the Rambam write Hilchos Malachim at the end of the Sefer? The Chere Hilchos Malachim should have been way before, should have been before Hilchos Beis Abchira, right? So, yeah?
Why?
See, why? Because, you know, why? Just to have it clear what's going on over here. Just to have it clear. When you have the order, when the Rambam writes Hilchas Shabbos, when the Rambam writes Hilchas Pesach before some other halacha, does that mean that Apiyah halacha, you have to write this halacha first? No, because it doesn't mean that. It means that api practical, or from a value, from a certain value, from a certain standpoint, you meant to put this halacha first. It doesn't mean that halacha dictates that this halacha has to go first. Remember, halacha dictates what it says in the halacha. The order of halachas got to do with different reasons. It doesn't have to be a halacha, which is telling you to make this one first. It's not a halacha, it's a something practical, or some halacha logic which makes you put this one first. Well, but not a chiyuv.
This isn't a lesson, it's just like a lesson in how you should, in a moon, in a
Mashiach. Whatever you have, there's different reasons why. In other words, it's not a chiyuv halacha. The fact you put Hilchos Shabbos before Hilchos Yom Kippur, or Hilchos Erevin, the Rambam thing puts before Hilchos Shabbos, or no, the Rambam doesn't do that. So there's the Gemara does it first. Doesn't mean that there's a halacha which is dictating a mechayev to put it first. No, it's some other reason. Okay. So here with the Rebbe is discussing why Hilchos Malachim in the end, and the Rebbe is going to answer. Okay? And it doesn't have to be a chiyuv halacha, and it's not a chiyuv halacha. It's just a practical thing. This we're going to see right now. Here, the Rebbe writes in line 10. The Rambam put the sefer Hilchos Malachim. He's the reason why he put it at the end, because he wants to bring out that the shleimus of kibbutz teirim, a mitzvah, is when you have a melech, right?
Yeah.
Fine. That's what he says. Now, why? That explains why is it when you have a melech, you have the same scheme of Teirim Mitzvah. So now let's read it right here.
The mitzvahs that are taller than the melech.
What?
The mitzvahs that are taller than the melech.
Well, how many mitzvahs are taller than
the melech? Like the Sefer Torah and the Kahakel and...
So, not exactly. it's not exactly. It's not wrong, but not exactly. So here the Rebbe says. Now, look at the Rebbe's words. Kefi shezavumu b'pashtas. You don't need to explain why everything depends on a melech. The Rebbe says it's moving by pashtas. The shleimus kibbutz teirim mitzvahs is when you have a melech. Why? Because this melech, the Rebbe explains on line 12, he's going to win the wars. And then you're going to be able to build a Beis HaMikdash. And only then do you have all the mitzvot Torah. When you have all the mitzvot Torah, we have the basic b'chira, right? So, in order to, what did the Rebbe tell you just now? The reason why Hilchos Halachim is the end, is at the very end, because there's a practical reason to it. What is it? Because the way you can get to fulfillment to all mitzvahs is you have to have basic b'chira. To get basic b'chira, practically speaking, you need to win the war. You can't build enormous binyan when you're in the middle of fighting a war. To win a war, you're going to have a good leader, a melech. That's what okay, so now. So what we're bringing in, why the Rambam put Hilchos Halachim at the end, is posh a practical reason. Yeah? So we're going out of the halacha, halacha, above our understanding, we're coming to a very practical definition. Now, you need a Hilchos Halachim at the end, because that is the way it works. Fine. But we're going to take this one step further. Now the Rebbe says, when was this accomplished? When was this accomplished? You have the melech who should win the war, should be able to build the base of Midrash. And this I'm going to, here I'm going to be throwing another question. The Rebbe says it happened with David the Melech. Why? Because he was a melech of all the Yidens. He conquered Israel. He finished all the Mechamas. And then through David won all the wars, they were able to build a base of Midrash in Yerushalayim. And therefore, then you have all the mitzvahs of Shleimus. Okay. So that happened with David, right? Let me ask you a question. Was there any mitzvah which was not observed by Mishkan Shiloh, which was observed by David the Melech?
Yeah, the Aramiklat.
And yeah, why?
Those three
No. Stop right away when we came to Israel. Aramiklat something.
No, there's more. There's three more. Is that my little?
Wait. David the Melech didn't have three more. No, he started.
No, I'm saying now.
Talking about David the Melech. The Rebbe says, when did these three mitzvahs reach there? When were they fully met? When did the full function of Torah mitzvah start? By David the Melech. That's what Rebbe explains. That's a whole city building. That's
a Melech. You don't have.
So I'm asking you, one second. When are you sure, by the way, Yeshua was a Melech. The Rebbe has it in the Chayit Zayin. Yeshua was a Melech. So the question is the Rebbe has a question. Shmuel may have been a Melech. Yet Saul a Melech. So now, the question is,
they don't wipe out Amalek.
So the only thing is, okay, you told me they didn't find, David finished wiping out, so David, you want to say David finished, Saul didn't do it, so David, fine. If the Rebbe didn't say that, okay,
didn't,
the Rebbe says the quality of these three mitzvahs is that they enable us to do all the mitzvahs. But they had all the mitzvahs before, all the other tariq mitzvahs, you're going to tell me, Mechiras Amalek was not met. But all the Tariag mitzvahs, the Rebbe said the mile of these three mitzvahs is that they enable us to do all the other mitzvahs. All the other mitzvahs were there already by Mishkan Shiloh. Not one mitzvah was added by Mikdash David. You want to say the slimmers of a Malik, maybe, okay, you found one mitzvah.
Okay,
this is not what they're saying. They're saying all the whole mitzvah, the whole system of the mitzvahs comes to slimmers by David. So what slimmers came by David? You had it all by Mishkan Shiloh. So the answer is, and so just to add to the fact, the answer is very simple, very simply. No. The shleimus the Rebbe is talking about in this sikha here, which this adds explanation to what the Rebbe discussed in the sikha we quoted earlier from Chelik Zayin, the three mitzvahs. The shleimus the Rebbe is not talking about a shleimus of doing another mitzvah. The Rebbe is talking about a shleimus in every mitzvah. What are the shleimus? You have a melech who conquered the country, and he's building an enormous structure, so you now can really function doing military mitzvahs. As long as you have disturbances of the other country, you can't really do mitzvahs properly. You're going to do it, you're going to have disturbances. When you have around these countries running by a firm leader, who actually can make menucha, what the Rebbe is always discussing, makes firm peace, that is when the mitzvahs are called shleimus. So what do we have over here now is, so what comes out of here is, here the Rebbe is explaining us, what is the quality of David? Not that he introduced any new halachas. That is not his quality. Not that he introduced any new mitzvah, which was, it was all there before. He introduced the fact that practically speaking, we can do the mitzvahs. That was the mile of his topic. of David.
Gelegenheit.
It's a practical, he's giving us a practical opportunity to do it.
No way, I don't get it.
What did David, so here you have a whole sikha, the Rebbe explaining us, this Rambam of Perek, why the Rambam put Hilchos Nochem at the end. And he said this was met by David HaMelech. He brought the perfection, all the Torah mitzvahs. What perfection did he bring? He had Yovel Schmidt to every mitzvah he had by Mishkan Shiller.
Okay.
David didn't add a single mitzvah. Yeah, someone told me he added, certain Xeris. Okay, whatever. So these days we're adding the Baishani even more. Okay. So he adds Asir Yichud, whatever, certain things. Anyway, so what is David's accomplishment? So the Teretz is, which is the Teretz, everything we were talking about till now, that David's ability is, Malchus with David's ability is, they give you the Nucha, whatever it's talking about, Nucha, that you can build structures, you can build houses of stone. Why? Because Malchus with David, this is an akuda. David the Melech was the first one who managed to defeat all the enemies. He managed to crush Amalek completely. So it's not the fact he just did the finish in the midst of Amalek completely. The fact is that he had no more position. Once you have no position, you have therefore, every mitzvah is done, you can devote yourself to Torah mitzvahs. That's like the Rambam describes your Meisim Mashiach. What's your Meisim Mashiach? You're not going to have the Neugishim of battle. You're not going to have any disturbance from the Goyim. You won't have disturbance from the Goyim, so you'll be able to do mitzvahs, Bishleimus. That's what it is. Mashiach is not going to be introducing any new mitzvahs besides the three Ari Mikot. He's not going to be introducing any new mitzvahs which was not there by Srishan, by Srishan. Nevertheless, what is it? He's going to give
he's going to bring Shleimus
and Menucha. So, what is the quality based of it? What was David's quality? That he brought the Shleimus HaMenucha. This Shleimus HaMenucha is so important, that Hashem promised David, because you're the first one who brought Shleimus HaMenucha to Klal Yisrael, therefore, the one who will bring the ultimate Menucha is going to be your descendant. That was a schuz, the Ebishah promised David. That what do you mean he's going to be your, what does it mean? He's going to have the leadership qualities to implement the Torah into this world, that the world should not negate Torah. He should overcome all objections to the Torah, and should make full peace for Yidden. And that is a menucha, it's a gashmistika, you can call it a gashmistika. The ikamaili is, while the Rambam, let's look in the Rebbe's words, in line 17, 18, the same sikha. Mashiach is going to bring the same in Torah. The Rebbe is comparing Mashiach to David. Because the Rambam compares it. He explains the Rebbe is saying what the Shaykh is. Because Mashiach is going to do the same thing David did. He's going to be Mevatel the Shibidomus. And therefore you're going to be able to do all the Torah. So what's Mashiach's quality? He's going to push the guys and he's going to give the ability to function properly and do Torah mitzvahs properly. Okay? We got it?
Yeah.
Therefore, okay. Just one, let's throw in one thing. One point. In the last thing here, the last quote here, Chelik Lam Devav. Chelik Lam Devav. You look in the last quote of Chelik Lam Devav. Yeah, the page.
Where is the word of Menucha from? That's from this sikh?
From wherever you look in the Rebbe's words, you'll find it everywhere. It comes from, the Rebbe takes it from, the Rebbe takes it, I don't remember where it takes it, the Rebbe takes it from somewhere.
What does it say?
Look at line one, it's happening in line one in Chelik Design, the Rebbe repeats it, and okay.
Chelik Design?
Yeah, Chelik Design. That's in line, page 3 on the top of the page. On the top of the page 3, on the top of the page, have the matzav shemanuchi. You look at the sikhul of
Yopan.
Right. So what we've done, the Rebbe switched over, has given, what the Rebbe has done now, he's given the basic midrash a gas mystic dimension to itself. It's a permanent building and that is a value. And now, just to bring this to attention, to show you what's going on over here. In Chelik Lam Devav, in the bottom of the page here, right? Yeah? This is talking about Mitzvah Binyan. Why did Rebbe go with Mitzvah Binyan? There the Rebbe goes to a great length to explain the uniqueness of Beis HaMikdash is not its kedusha. The uniqueness is a kvius of a yid. Mm-hmm. And we showed here, this is what the Rebbe has been doing all the years, that showing that it's the kvius. So the Rebbe said, if the Beis HaMikdash is the inner kvius, the Rebbe is telling you, make now your house to be a kvius. Why? Just as a side point, just throw it in. But maybe it's not a side point, but anyways. Once upon a time in Europe, you couldn't make your house be a kvias. Why? Because all the kvias in which you'd made all through the years were later destroyed by the Goyim, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now the Rebbe is telling you make it clear. The Rebbe is saying that's a preparation to be in the basic mikdash. Because your kviz no one is ever going to destroy.
Wow.
Okay. So anyways, let's go. So that is where it all comes down to the inyan of kviz. That's a get of Melah. He is the one who enabled this kviz. How did he do it? By winning the wars. And how did this kviz actually play itself out when you build the basic mikdash? Basic mikdash means you make a kviz to the whole Torah system. So Torah is now the kavua.
So meaning when you do the aveda of making the kviz, Melah.
When it's David Melech,
well, through the Melech, like telling us to do it.
Okay, meaning, okay, the Melech gives you the chaylah, yeah. But when you will make the Indian of peace in all your Avodah life, so then.
But wait, it's all coming on. To the Kohen of the Melech. That's
not, let's not extend it too far. What you're saying may be right, but let me remember.
No, so then focus on the
Chaylik Vol Amad Vol. The Rebbe wants everyone to make the house kviz. Yes. The Rebbe says it's a chana, me'ain dugma ba chana, different. The main dogma chana of binyan, basically whatever. So 1 second. So the main dogma chana, the mitzvah of binyan, I think started in Tov Shemem Zayin. I think it started and went over from Tov Shemem Zayin and onwards.
Okay, yeah. So
yeah. Anyways, it started after Mishpat HaSvarim, I think. It started evolved. Sorry, it started by Mishpat HaSvarim, right after the Rebbe told him to build 770 there a base bais in Kfar Chabad, and that evolved to binyan mitzvah. So anyway, so let's go to Anyways, so now, once we understood that the whole gather, what have we understood? Now, all the questions are answered. How are all the questions are answered? Let's go right through. The way that Rebbe get that the halacha Yamid Melech has to be met. Why the three mitzvahs, the order does not have to be met, but Mashiach has to be met. Because the halacha of the three mitzvahs is a halacha. You do the mitzvah perfectly, you do it in the right order. You don't do it, it's told to you, you've done the mitzvah.
Yeah.
Mashiach is not talking about a halacha. You're talking about a practical reality. The Rabbi Mishnah says, for bringing menucha to Yidden, that Yidden should do Torah mitzvahs properly, you're going to have Malchus Beis David. This is the whole get of the Rambam there. Just to explain a bit further, the way the Rambam there works, that Halpeik and the Rambam works like this. We all have Amunah in what? We all believe in Gula. The Rambam writes it very clearly, and it's also in Ani Mamin. The belief is, puzzled in the words Rambam were, is not in Gula. The belief is in Malchus Beis David. Because the Rambam, Allah, talking about practical mitzvahs of Oyel Mahazah, the only way you can get Menucha, which Gula is just another definition for Menucha, right? The only way you get it, so there's one way you can imagine it, if you're a spiritual minded person, everything Torah is above Oretz, is in Shemayim, so you can imagine having the Gula as what? As a peace coming to the world. But Halakha, which addresses physical reality, practical reality, the only way you get the Menucha is someone is able to impose, to implant this Menucha. Who is, so this quality to plant this Menucha has to be done by a Melech. Who did the Abishag promise this quality? There's no human being who's going to have this quality other than a descendant of Beis David. He's going to have the skills of actually bringing Menucha to Yidden. So therefore the whole moon about Gula in the Rambam's words is all about belief in Melech HaMashiach. That's what it is. Melech HaMashiach. Call me Shane and boy, it's all about him. Gula is just once you have him, you have the rest, right? So therefore, coming back to our point, so therefore, the question was, why did the Rebbe say this has to be met? Because you have, in order to bring Menucha to Eden, you're going to have a Melech Beis David, who is living with the Torah, and he's going to bring the shlemus of the Torah. He's going to have the ability to bring the shlemus. How will he have the ability? Because Malchus Beis David. Okay, so that is why this is. For in short, this is why the Rebbe says the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph of Yamid Melech has to be met. When the first three mitzvahs, where the Rambam writes, it has to be in order. The Rebbe says it not necessarily has to be met. Here it has to be met, because you're talking about Gashem Zikim Metzias, that Api Teira, Api Amun in the Teira, Api Avtachas HaTeira.
The first three mitzvahs, the Rebbe says by the Seder by Melech HaMashiach, it has to be.
The three mitzvahs in themselves, the three mitzvahs in some
sort of has to be
met. Now, logically speaking, don't have to be met. Practically speaking, now, bisman hazeh, when the Abish of
the
that
because of mitzvahs and mitzvahs.
Not because of the gashmi mitzvahs.
Yeah.
Because of the gashmi mitzvahs, it's a practical thing. So this is the whole get of Melech Mashiach, like he, okay, fine. Then, so this is, now, once you get this,
where is it in the Rambam's words now?
What, it's in the Rambam, so now, the Rambam, what do you mean? It's in the Rambam, in the Rambam's words, it's right there. Do you know where it is? It's right there. It's written right there. Hey, there's no difference between Moshe Mashiach, and Shibbet Malchus. It's written right there in the Rambam. It's not always Rambam, it's written in Hilchos Halacha also. So not always Rambam writes his halacha.
I'm saying this halacha here, where is...
Which halacha?
Halacha Dalet. Perek Yud Aleph, halacha Dalet. Where is it?
Right.
I'm sorry. What are you saying?
Where does it say that you have to that Mashiach has to build it?
Because remember, it's very simple. Once we understand that Bisa Midrash is a poshut, a gash mystiki inyan, that it has to be permanent. The whole gather of Mashiach is that he's the only one who can bring permanency to the Klal Yisrael. The Ibsha promised David permanency, bring Menucha to Yidden, belongs to Malchus Beis David. Therefore, basically...
Where is that? The permanence Malchus Beis David?
Malchus Beis David? Where did I get it from?
Yeah.
That, where I get it from, the Rebbe's words, is a Sikha in Chelik Yudches. It's a long Sikha. You have the quotes, the main quotes here. You can take it and scrutinize it, take it apart. And then once you take it apart, you'll be able to spread this message across to everybody else. You'll be able to explain how you can tell Mashiach to everybody without any issues at all. Yeah.
No laughing. Let's go.
Let's just finish. I want to show you the last thing. How the last thing goes. The Amaskon of August goes.
Yeah, please. This comes to Mishpatim.
Yeah, this will come right now. Yeah.
Okay. No.
Okay. Fine. Right now, let's say I'm talking to a person who doesn't want to hear about Gula in the present tense. A Mashiach, it's all in the Svarim, it's true, Teres Emes, but I don't believe that.
What does this get us? Everything, all the ones is what we just did, like.
Yeah, we come to the point, we come right now, this psak din, you can read to anybody. Without any issue, based on this, you read to anybody. Look, if the Rebbe is telling you, you have the psak din, etc., 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 let's come to the last words of the psak din. What's the last words of psak din? She gives man hagula yamid melech beis dabur cheskesu mashiach v'adamayim v'matzah d'hai harda mashiach v'adei. It's such a poshta thing. Tell her, you give up, look a moment. What is the gather of Mashiach? The gather of Mashiach, he gives the ability to do Torah mitzvahs without any disturbance, right? Without any objection, obstruction from going, yeah?
Yes.
That's what it is, okay, to say that. Now, we're living in a reality from Tov Shin Yud around, right? Where, we in America at least, there's no one objecting to our Torah mitzvahs. No objecting to our Torah mitzvahs, right?
Yeah.
Now, we live in a reality in Russia also, there's no one. So where you didn't live across the world, maybe there's few exceptions, but Cloud, there is no objection to doing Teremis of what? Of Zman HaGolus. No problem. So what are we saying here? I'm telling you, listen, one second. I'm telling this person, this is the way I speak to people. He doesn't want to hear about Mashiach. He doesn't want to hear about Golus. Gonish, I didn't tell you. I'm winning Golus. No question winning Golus. But look at this matzah. The way to explain, you're going to have to use the Babi Cherebi, because otherwise it doesn't have any meaning. You're gonna have. The Rebbe is telling us that today there's no one there. Because if you're gonna say there's no obstruction, so what does it help us? It's not gonna have any meaning. So you tell the person, the Rebbe says, because there's no obstruction to Torah mitzvahs today, so therefore, you can do adding Torah mitzvahs, and you can bring more, you can improve your life, make yourself a better life. Once upon a time, you couldn't add a Torah mitzvah, you're restricted. Today, for your needs, just add. We're all Yidden, we realize this message, that they can make their lives better through Torah mitzvahs. On what basis am I saying it? Because it says in the Torah, it says everywhere, etc. You do Torah mitzvahs, you have a good life. Once upon a time, we were restricted. So now we're still in Golus, we're in the worst Golus ever. No problem, we're in the Golus. But there's no one there holding me back from doing Torah mitzvahs. So I'm telling you, speak to the person, every person needs bracha. Do the rabbis telling us, do another mitzvah, and there's nothing obstructing, and you'll be able to do more. And more you do, the more you're going to realize you do. Remember, because there's no one obstructing you. And if all you and the mass will start increasing, of course the goal is going to come. I mean, again, so you're brought out. So now it's very simple. He gives mana gula. You want to say the gula is not here. No problem, it's not here at all. Within the biggest goals. But we, in a time where once upon a time, in order to bring the gula, we had to daven to Hashem, we should do something called, we ourselves should be able to increase in Torah mitzvahs and change our own lives, change the situation around others. We couldn't. Now we can. So we're going to increase, of course, if we can increase, of course we're going to bring Mashiach. So there's nothing obstructing us from bringing Mashiach. So once upon a time, we had to depend on Hashem. Now the Rebbe is telling us, the time of the Gula has come to increase the mitzvahs, and you will bring, and you'll bring the Gula. Now,
yeah.
Rebbe Shua, once, so what is the Nekuda here? Right. Once you take, understand, that the, what the Rebbe said in the Chudas Chelke was saying that you cannot have the Gashem sticking materials of Gula, because that ability belongs to Malchus Mizdavis. Once you understand the logic, and the Rebbe is telling you, have this is what the Rebbe has explained us all these years, so now you have means and ways to tell any kid about Gula. And now, just for me, as a Lubavitcher, as a Maimon in the Rebbe, just let me think one moment. I don't understand. There's no one obstructing me from doing Torah mitzvahs. So it must be, one second, how could that be? If the whole quality of Mashiach is, the fact he brings the menucha, there's no one obstructing me, so I'm still in Golos, and I haven't seen a lot of Torahs, but this menucha, the ability of menucha, I already have. So I, as a chassid, know when I speak to the Yid, I may not tell him Melech HaMashiach, I may not tell him that he doesn't want to hear, doesn't have to hear. I'll tell him the Rebbe Lubavitcher Rebbe said. He will come, okay. The fact that I'm in a situation, the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, why could he say it? But why is it? How can it be in such a situation? If the gather of Gula is this Menucha, and we already have this state of Menucha, and the ability to create this Menucha, so it must be following the same Rambam, the same Amunah, it must be Alpi this Amunah, that he is Melech HaMashiach, right? The question is, I'm telling you, there's one way of understanding. One second. So before running off to this. Now starts the whole mitzvah. Now I have to give Gimel Tamas. How can we say Melech HaMashiach? This is not the discussion which you want to go into now. The main thing I wanted to say is, whatever I know to myself, once Mashiach by me is not an Amunah, I just believe in Mashiach, because the Rebbe told me, because we see in the Sikh, the Rebbe is Mashiach, I believe in him. So once it's built on Amunah, I'm going to have a problem to communicate this to a Yid. A Yid is going to want to hear it, fine. A Yid is not going to want to hear it. I've lost all means of communication. If I know that Mashiach is not an Amunah, but it's an Avodah, that he's giving me the ability to do an Avodah, that's what it is. Like we just say, he gives me the whole get of Mashiach. He removes the obstacles that we can function. Once I understand the Mashiach is an Avodah, I have no problem to tell it to anybody in the world. It goes sweet. There's no one in the world who ever turn it down. This is more or less it. Now there's more to it regarding Atzei Gimel Tamas, but all of these are not really non-issues at all. I just want to show you right out how this can be explained to everybody without, there shouldn't be any issue to explain to anybody. If there's any, we have any problem to explain this to people, it's Poshet, because we ourselves do not know. It's our own confusion. It's got nothing to do with anybody else. There's no one who can tell this to anyone in Lubavitch. No one will ever have an objection to it. You don't have to tell him anything. He'll tell him we're living in a life that Rebbe says is Giz Man Gula. You didn't have to know that you have to be Moisim Taylor Miss. You have to know the opportunity in their hands. This is what we have to explain to them today, that they have the opportunity. You can explain this to any Shliach, to any Lubavitch. No one's going to have an objection to it. And you have the whole world in front of you. People are going to come to realize that as they start identifying with this. So this is Lechera. Okay, they'll come to open the eyes. But you have all the gates, the gates of the world are open to everybody. Open to us completely. This is more or less.
Yeah, amazing. The way was still
not understood. It was understood. They had this halach and this thing, chelik hay. The Rebbe's thing that has to be met. You, without ever understanding where the Rebbe got it from. The Rebbe explained it later in these sikhs. He's showing you exactly where he got this in chelik hay from. Rebbe explains it. Once the Rebbe explains what way got chelik came from, so you understand the math automatically what the Rebbe is saying here. Mishpatim lo nalav, and it's he tells mishpatim lo nalav is the sweetest thing any person is going to want to hear. No one will ever. It's a, you're telling a person how the Rebbe has, however you describe the person in the way the person would appreciate it, how the Rebbe is the who cares for Yidden, and he says, Yidden, we have the opportunity, or the, whatever, everyone knows what they have, they cannot describe about the Rebbe. This you explain to a person, that you, we have the opportunity. Let's say to you, you have the message, you can give over the full message without any problem. The terms and definitions, the person will relate to realize, will relate to realize themselves, etc. Should be, the same them.
Yeah,
go ahead. Makes it, for, how long did it take me?
Right.